Good evening. May I invite the church to turn to the book of John, John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and we'll read from verse 1 to verse 10, to verse 11. Again, this is another story that happened in Bethany, where we meet these two sisters again, the sisters Mary and Martha. Now, this particular event in chapter 12, verse 1 to 11, happened 6 days before the Passover. This is about 6 days before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, before he was put to death. We pick it up from verse 1, chapter 12, the book of John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. So in the morning, we saw how Martha and Mary, when Jesus and his disciples visited their home, behaved, particularly Martha. We saw that she was a godly woman, and she loved the Lord Jesus Christ, as was noted from John chapter 11. She believed in him as her God and her Savior. However, Martha got distracted from focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ because of the preparations that she had to make for the guests that had come to her home. And because of this, she came to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was now teaching the disciples, alongside Mary, the sister to Martha, who had sat at his feet. She came to the Lord to seek his help in stopping Martha from the activity that she was engaged in, that is to listen to Jesus, and turning to the kitchen to come and help her. And she came and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me. I'm so busy. I need help. I can't get everything done in good time on my own. Let Mary stop listening to you and join me in the kitchen. We have a deadline, a time frame. Before you finish teaching, I need to have the food ready. And the Lord, in love and kindness, called on to Martha, 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 as if to say, Martha, think again. What have you asked me to do? Instead of the Lord granting her her request, turns to her and examining her heart and where her passions at this particular time lay, in that they lay in her executing this particular assignment in the most excellent way. She wanted to excel, to do it in an outstanding manner, beyond expectations maybe, so that maybe the Lord Jesus Christ can take note that Martha loved Jesus by expressing herself through the meal. However, the Lord Jesus Christ said she's worried. In her heart was this worry and anxiety about many things, things that were not appropriate at this particular time, things that were not needed at all. They were not necessary since Jesus was in the house. And she was gently rebuked and said, "Only one thing, Martha, you need to worry and concern yourself about. Mary has chosen this, which is the best, which was listening to the Lord Jesus Christ and his word." And we saw that we need to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. All the opportunities that we have as a local church to apply ourselves, to listen, to learn. And the Lord Jesus Christ loves our communing with him, sitting and learning and hearing from him more than our works of service. Our works of service must spring up from a heart that has been with the Lord and will be acceptable before him. Now we turn to this lady, Mary. In the book of Luke, chapter 10, we saw that she sat at Jesus' feet. We did highlight in the morning that basically this was signifying her submission to the Lord, her total surrender to the Lord. She was ready to take in what Jesus was going to say. She was ready to take every word. And she regarded him as the only teacher. We noted that this was against the odds for the day. The culture of the day did not permit women to sit under, rather rabbis to teach women. The culture, the religion of the day, demanded that rabbis, teachers of the law, should concentrate in studying the Torah, the law, examining the law, and rather than spend time with a woman. And you remember the Lord Jesus Christ and the story in the book of John chapter 4 at the well? It was a shock, a surprise to those that came to see him talking to a woman. Not that she was a Samaritan, but she was a woman. As a teacher, Jesus, it was strange to find him talking to a woman. But Mary knew this very well and against all odds desired to learn from Jesus, because in Jesus she had found life for her soul, for her life here below. Now, we also saw that Martha was busy, yet Mary concerned herself only with Jesus. Now, here, in terms of Mary sitting before the Lord Jesus Christ, it's more than just considering that saving and preparation of food is inferior to Bible study. That's not the point. It's more than the physical act of just sitting before the Lord Jesus Christ and hearing his word in comparison to mundane tasks like preparation of food, attending to the various works the Lord would have us do. Rather, in Mary, we see a lady who's wholehearted in terms of a devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. She willfully submitted to Jesus and declared her allegiance to Jesus more than anything else. And she wants to take every word Jesus says to her heart. Take them in so that she can apply them to her life. And you can see that she was contented as she sat before the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else mattered. She must get what Jesus says. That's what will cause her to soldier on, even when the sister flared up. When the sister came to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to ask her to come to the kitchen, she kept quiet. It's as if, look, it doesn't matter what you're saying, Martha. It doesn't matter. I'm with Jesus, I'm learning from him. That's all that matters. I will listen to him. I will think about it in terms of what he's telling me, and I'll apply it to my life. I love him so much. And as we look at the other passage of scriptures where Mary appears, it tells us something a little more about her heart. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ. She was always, if she could, she would lay at his feet all the time. Remember the passage we read from John chapter 11. As Jesus entered the village, the town where Mary and Martha were, and Martha ran to get Mary to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. When Mary came to the Lord Jesus Christ, she fell on her knee, on Jesus' feet, as she began to speak to him. Isn't that a wonderful picture? Falling on Jesus' feet, submitting. Though I'm saying what I'm saying, Lord, you are the one. You are the great God before whose feet I will always be. And now we find her again in Bethany. In chapter 12, the passage we read, around the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a dinner that had been thrown in Jesus' honor. Martha again was serving, while Lazarus reclined with Jesus on the table. And Mary took a pint of pure nard. This was expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped away with her hair. I can imagine as she poured the perfume, her heart was in it, expressing how grateful she was to God for the Lord Jesus Christ, his love and care for her, the words that Jesus had taught her. And one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, said, No, this is not right. This lady, she's pouring this perfume, such an expensive perfume. This perfume could have been sold. And by the way, these words, though Judas here is quoted, could have also been the words of the disciples. The disciples in Matthew 26 also expressed something of this concern. Some perfume again was being poured, and the disciples also thought, no, this is too expensive. You cannot waste such perfume. We should have sold it and given the money to the poor. So the disciples, though Judas thought like this, could have also held the same position. Now, this perfume was very expensive. That's what the Bible says. And Judas gave a value. Rather, we are given a value in John there. The Apostle John says it's worth a year's wage. A year's wage was quite a lot of money. It was about a pint. Now, in terms of the equivalent in grams, is about 500 grams of perfume. Most of the perfumes we buy are less than 500 grams. But this one was quite some sizable jar of perfume. Quite expensive. It was made from the nard, an extract of oil from the root of the nard herb, which is grown in India around the foothills of the Himalayas. It was an imported perfume, quite expensive. It was costing a year's wages, as I have indicated in verse 5, as it's indicated in verse 5. Now, I went on the internet to just check a little bit in terms of perfumes and looked at the most expensive perfumes. The world's most expensive perfume is about $215,000. That's about 2 million kwacha. Very, very expensive. And only about 20 of these perfumes were made, 20 bottles, because of the price. 10 for men and 10 for women. It would be interesting to find out whether those have been bought. 20 only. However, I did not want to concentrate myself on this extremely, extremely expensive perfume. I still went on the other expensive perfume, normal perfumes, quite expensive. On average, a perfume costed about 1,000 per ounce, which is about, rather, $1,000 to about 24 grams, roughly. And to make up the quantity that Mary had, you needed something like 21 to 20 ounces of perfume, and this would cost you about $21,000, about 200,000 kwacha. And that's quite a lot of money still. I'm not sure how many of us spend 200,000 kwacha or $21,000 for perfume. But Mary had this perfume. For the day, it was expensive, the most expensive perfume, I suppose. And that's why it basically called for some reaction. It was quite expensive to just be poured like that, the disciples thought. And maybe she had saved this from what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. From the time she knew that Jesus was going to die someday, maybe she began to plan about this. She could have gone to great extents to raise enough money to buy the most expensive perfume for someone she loved so much, someone who had given her life everlasting, someone who has taught her the words of God. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ and was dedicated to him. And so she poured this perfume. And Judas and the disciples thought it was a waste. Now Jesus' response tells us also something about what he saw in Mary's heart. That look, leave her alone. Isn't that wonderful when we are being attacked? And sometimes you cannot justify. If you took me in the day in that room and saw Mary pouring perfume, I would have reacted perhaps the same way, like if you told me the value. I would have reacted the same way, the disciples did. And Mary was now being attacked. The disciples perhaps were muttering, and I'm sure all the other guests who got to learn that this is an expensive perfume. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, leave her alone, in her defense. Leave her alone. Don't trouble her. What is in her heart is much more than what you see. The love she has for me is great and deep. She's committed to me. So that she intended this perfume for my burial date. Sounds like Mary was thinking about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe she knew somehow that it's getting closer now. Anytime I'm going to lose this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I've cherished, he's taught me great things. But the disciples don't seem to be aware about this important occasion that is about to happen. And maybe because, unlike Mary, they did not devote themselves to Jesus' teaching. They did not listen. Jesus had been telling them, I will be crucified. They had sat alongside Mary before the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. But at this very, very important occasion, the following day will be the triumphant entry, and Jesus will be entering Jerusalem for his last week. They don't seem to mention anything about the Lord's death. And for Mary, she is consumed about the Master. She loved him. She was all over the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord Jesus Christ was to say any word, Mary wanted to get it. And she wanted to express her love, her commitment. And that expensive perfume maybe is all that Martha had. She was willing to give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. She was learning from him. And now you will understand when you look at the passage in Luke, why did Mary stick to the Lord Jesus Christ? She loved him. She valued him more than anything. And oh, that we may love the Lord Jesus Christ. We may love him like Mary did, we may be heartily devoted to Him, deeply engaged with Him in prayer and in the study of His Word, so that we too can serve Him out of hearts that are devoted. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ responded to Martha by way of application, rather to the disciples, that you always have the poor among you. And here, Jesus is not saying that the poor are not important, that we shouldn't regard them at all. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ requires us to give to the poor. And we are told that the religion that is pleasing before God is the one that takes care of the widows and the orphans, representing the poor in society. Rather, Jesus is saying, look, disciples and Judas and everyone else who was in the home, that you need to honor me first. Before you give to the poor, honor me first. And then you can go ahead and serve me. And we must honor God as of a priority. And for Mary, she was able to do this because she had sat and listened. She was in tune with what was going on and the words that Jesus had talked about, and knew the correct things to do at the right time, like in Luke 10. Even now, her first priority was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we go about our business in this world, our various occupations, our service in the church, all that we may honor God in the quietness of our hearts and seen to people around us, but acknowledged by our Father in heaven that we are dedicated to Him, that we love Him, and that we would like Him to increase and that we reduce. So Mary, listening to Jesus, was a result of her commitment, her devotion, her greatest heart desire, which was to worship and love Jesus. Now, if, as we have been sitting under teaching of God's word for many years for some of us, I must ask a question whether that kind of activity, our activity, engagement with God's word, has produced any devotion like Mary's. Do we love Jesus that way? Our listening of God's word, has it produced such a devotion that we will run to the feet of Jesus at every time? May this be our prayer every time we sit under the teaching of God's word, that out of it may come some deep commitment to the Lord as we listen to God's word, because we love Jesus Christ above everything else and we adore Him. May our love for the Lord Jesus Christ motivate us to honor Him in our lives, in our homes, in our workplaces, indeed in this world. Mary falling before the Lord Jesus Christ, an act of humility. If there's anything that we must see after Jesus has spoken to your heart, after you've listened to Him, is just that act, submitting to the sovereign God. And three times today we've seen in Luke, in John 11 and 12, Mary running again to the feet of Jesus, the great God of wonders, the God of our salvation, so that she may find a life there. And she did. May we also in humility submit to God. One thing that Martha failed to do was to submit to Jesus. And she was anxious, because she didn't want to submit to Jesus' teaching. She didn't want to listen. And she was angered about the good thing that Mary was doing. May we search our hearts when we are so unsettled as we look at our fellow brothers and sisters exerting themselves in the ministry, in the work of God, let's search our hearts. Could it be that we have lost our focus? In conclusion, brethren, Mary knew only so much about the Lord Jesus Christ. She had not experienced at this particular time the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet she had a glimpse of who he was. Just a little bit of it. You and I have the full canon of Scripture. You and I have a heritage of the great doctrines of the faith, compacted, easily put forth for us to follow. You and I are partakers of these great truths. All the exalted view of the Lord Jesus Christ we've known. Every month, we come back to the Lord's table and view him again. Do we love him that much? Do we love him? Jesus died to redeem us. We know much. May our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ cause us to love him. Let us marvel at his love, his mercy. This God who has given us his word and has covenanted that he's going to love us. And we have a testimony within our hearts. May we muse over this love and in wonder return to him in faith. Let's just pray together. Oh, Father, we desire to have even an inch of what Mary had in her heart towards you. So submissive, so willing to sit under your feet, to learn and know you. Father, this is our prayer, that we'll be devoted in our hearts to you, that as you teach us great and wonderful truths from your word, that we'll be affected by them. That Father would love you more than anything else. Indeed, by our commitment and love and devotion to you, that the world will see Christ and him exalted. As we serve you, Father, help us to do this out of hearts that acknowledge your greatness and love you. Cause this love to well up within our hearts, each one. And we pray that you glorify yourself in this place as we love and honor you, our great Father, in all we do. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.